Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Tuesday class, September 30th, 2024, Joel.
There's one announcement before we get started. Valerie Lewis' mother was called home to be with the Lord. I encourage you all to pray for Valerie and the whole family in the next few days. Her mother was a believer in Jesus Christ, and now she's face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a promotion. And that's what we're looking forward to, that promotion. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is from Hal Lindsay, and he asks the question, a wider war? Israel's attack on Hezbollah shocked the world. And then he asked, why? Both the United States State Department and the United Nations seemed appalled that Israel would attack an enemy that has fired close to 10,000 missiles at its citizens since October 7th of last year. What's surprising about that? Do they think that the Jewish people should gently acquiesce when led from ghettos to gas chambers? Should the world's only Jewish state be the one nation that is not allowed to defend itself? Such thinking is very distorted, bizarre, and bigoted, and it is anti-Semitic to the core. Much of the world considers Hezbollah a terrorist organization. It has carried out attacks on Israel since it was founded by Iran in 1992. Those attacks increased over the last year, mostly as an aid to Hamas and its terror war on Israel. Every time Israel does anything to slow down the ongoing attacks against itself, News reports include something like this, quote, experts fear this could lead to a wider war in the Middle East, unquote. But the view from Israel is that it is already in the bullseye of a regional war. The Hamas war on Israel has been going on for decades. According to their own charter, Hamas was formed for the purpose of destroying Israel. Until recently, it controlled Gaza because billionaire Hamas leaders regularly diverted global aid into their own pockets. Gaza remained one of the poorest regions on earth. The poverty Hamas leaders caused led to more aid for Gaza and more graft for the Hamas leaders. Gaza borders Israel and the Mediterranean Sea and Egypt. By sea and from Egypt, Hamas was able to bring terror supplies into Gaza with which to attack Israel. Until recently, it had a vast tunnel system for moving terror supplies into the area and into Israel. They put all this into motion on 7 October of last year. From the south, the Houthis continue to fire sophisticated long-range Iranian ballistic missiles at Israel and at American Navy ships. The Houthis are a Shiite Muslim terror group working in Yemen, which sits at the southern end of the Arabian Peninsula. From the immediate east, Israel contends daily with the Palestinian Authority, which governs Judea and Samaria, an area often known as the West Bank. This organization teaches terrorism as a way of life to their young, and they reward terrorists and the families of martyrs with handsome lifetime financial rewards. From further east, Iraq's Shia militias continue to aid Iran's regional war on Israel. To Israel's northeast, we find Syria's illegitimate government, a place of Iranian arms manufacturing, and a platform for direct attacks on Israel. And then we come to Hezbollah in Lebanon. It and its thousands of missiles stand directly north of Israel. Each of these groups is funded and directed by the nation of Iran. Together, they encompass much of the region surrounding Israel. East, west, north, and south. From Israel's point of view, a wider war started long ago and has become intolerable over the last year. They're fighting back. They would be wrong not to. Like all people everywhere, they have a right to their land and homes, and they have an obligation to protect their young. We call them Jews. In Joel 3:2, how about that? He quotes Joel 3. Where are we at? Joel 3, see? In Joel, I tell you, he's listening to our classes, see? In Joel 3:2, Jeremiah 50, verse 6, and elsewhere, God calls the Jewish people my people. God calls the Jewish people my people. And he is not finished with them. The Bible tells us that they have an amazing future. Today, may all who are called by his name, that is, Christians, all of you, may we stand together with those that God still calls my people, his own people. Anti-Semitism is, where does that come from? Who is the ruler of planet Earth currently? It's a fallen angel, Satan. He's the current ruler of planet Earth. And he has a plan. And he has many strategies. One of his strategies is to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. And that means that anti-Semitism is totally satanic. You as a believer in Jesus Christ must never, ever, ever be anti-Semitic in any way. That's one of the reasons that I, in one class, I'm teaching an Old Testament book. Tuesday night is the Old Testament book. We're in Joel chapter 3. Currently, when we finish Joel, we're going to be in Zechariah. Joel is only 3 chapters. Zechariah, 14 chapters. That's going to be a good one. Joel chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, we have the announcement of Armageddon. Joel chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, we have the assembly for Armageddon. In Joel chapter 3, verses 13 to 15, we have the awesomeness of Armageddon. Joel 3, 9 and 10 sounds like this in corrected translation. Proclaim this among the nations. And then there are 4 commands. Command number 1, prepare for war. Command number 2 is to train for war, cause to rouse the warriors. Command number 3 is to mobilize for war, mobilize all the fighting men. And command number 4 is invade, attack. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. And let the weakling say, I am a mighty soldier, a valiant warrior. And then in verses 11 and 12, the assembly for Armageddon. Verse 11, come quickly and advance as fast as possible, all you nations from every side, north, south, east, and west, from the north, the king of the north, today that would be Russia. From the east, the kings of the east, communist China. From the south, the pan-Arabic bloc. From the west, the revived Roman Empire with the Antichrist. So from every side, north, south, east, and west, and assemble for war there, Armageddon. And then it says, O Lord, bring your mighty armies down. Verse 12. Let the Gentile nations be roused and cause them to advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat, which is a transliteration that means the valley where the Lord judges. Because there I will tarry for a short time for the purpose of executing judgment on all the Gentile nations from every side. And then verses 13 to 15, the awesomeness of Armageddon. Verse 13, shoot forth the sickle, because the harvest, the Gentile nations, is ripe. They are ready for judgment. Come, attack, trample the grapes, the Gentile nations, because the winepress is full, the wine vats are caused to overflow, because their evil, their total degeneracy, their wickedness is great. Verse 14, Multitude, multitude, with a deafening roar in the valley of cutting decision, because the day of the Lord, the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, is near in the valley of cutting decision. Verse 15, the sun and the moon will be dark, and the stars will withdraw their brightness. There will be total darkness on this earth prior to the second advent of Jesus Christ. And then verses 16 and 17, we have the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth in great military glory. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest soldier of all time. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the anointed one by God the Father. And God the Father has entrusted all judgment to the Son. And we studied that in John 5, 22 and 27. So verse 16, so far we've exegeted this much of verse 16. And the Lord will roar like a lion from Zion. And he will thunder from Jerusalem. The word to roar is the Hebrew word sha'eg, which literally means, describes the roar of a lion. And the Lord Jesus Christ has a special title. He is called the Lion of Judah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. In his true humanity, Revelation 5, verse 5. So, following verse 15, no more light, right before Christ returns. No light, total darkness. The sun and the moon will be dark, verse 15, and the stars will withdraw their brightness. There will be total darkness right before the second advent of Jesus Christ. And as men stagger about in a desperate search for light to relieve their blind condition, out of that darkness they will hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah, roaring through the heavens. And just as the lion roars, making his presence known before killing his prey, so the Lord Jesus Christ will roar, striking terror in all the unbelievers on planet Earth. Those who refuse to believe the light of the grace gospel of Jesus Christ will shake in terror at the awful judgment awaiting them. The roar of the Lion of Judah will announce the coming judgment and the slaughter of all the Gentile armies that have been assembled in Armageddon at the second advent. With the word of his mouth and the sword of his mouth and the breath of his lips, Christ will slay the nations that have gathered for the final war, Armageddon. And that's in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 21. And we'll be looking at that again this evening. But so we have, and the Lord will roar like a lion from Zion, and He will thunder from Jerusalem. And then the last week, we ended with a question. I asked you a question. Will Armageddon be a nuclear holocaust? There are some people that think that it will be a nuclear holocaust and will annihilate all life on the planet. Is that going to take place? No, absolutely not. We know that's not going to take place. Now, will there be nuclear warfare in the tribulation? Yes, there will. But it won't annihilate everyone and all life on planet Earth. So we know that there will be a remnant of believers who will survive Armageddon. They have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. They listened to the two witnesses. They listened to the 144,000 super evangelists. They responded to the grace gospel. They believed in Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent, he's not only coming in judgment on all unbelievers, he's coming to rescue the remnant of believers and bringing them into his kingdom, the millennial kingdom on planet Earth. 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ in perfect environment, in perfect prosperity, perfect peace, no war anywhere on planet Earth for 1,000 years because the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, is ruling planet Earth. So we know that there will be a remnant of believers, that was point one, who will survive Armageddon and will go into the millennial kingdom. So man will survive Armageddon, but you cannot rule out the fact that there will be some nuclear war in the tribulation. Point two, nuclear weapons are being developed to such a degree in our day that the possibility of their use is very feasible in the tribulation period. Point three, this is evidently the way that the great prostitute, the ecumenical religious system ruling planet Earth with the Antichrist will be destroyed. And that's Revelation 17, 15, and 16, Revelation 18, 16 to 19, and we looked at that. And that brings us, we'll start at point four. Remember, Armageddon is not a single battle, but a campaign of battles. It's a war. It's a war, a campaign of battles in which a vast number of soldiers will be destroyed as the Lord returns at the second advent. So point four, remember, Armageddon will not be a single battle, but a campaign of battles, a war in which vast numbers of soldiers will be destroyed as the Lord returns at the second advent. Point five, many people on earth will live in constant fear of a nuclear holocaust. That's true. Many people on the earth will live in a constant fear of a nuclear holocaust, but point six, there will be a day after. There will be a day after. Point seven, that day after is the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on planet Earth, on this earth. So that day after is the millennial reign of Christ on planet Earth. It will be a beautiful day. It will be a beautiful day for all of those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, for all of those who responded to the grace gospel and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will rescue them, deliver them, and bring them into his millennial reign, the millennial kingdom. It is a beautiful day of perfect environment, perfect air. You hear all about, things wrong with the air. There will be perfect air. There will be perfect water. There will be perfect food. There will be perfect health. There will be perfect righteousness and justice because Jesus Christ is ruling on the earth. There will be perfect world peace. So it will be a beautiful day. It will be a 1,000-year time of perfection. So, and the Lord will roar like a lion from Zion, and he will thunder from Jerusalem, And then it says, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. And after that is not rattle and roll. That's different. And the heavens on the earth shall shake. We have the plural noun shamayim plus the conjunction vav prefixed to the noun eretz plus the conjunction vav prefixed to the cal perfect of the verb ra'ash. Shamayim. Looks like this in the Hebrew. S-H-A-M-A-Y-I-M. You see that final I am right here? That's the long I am. Shamayim, that's plural. So it says heavens. And there's more than one heaven. There are three heavens in the scriptures. The first heaven is the atmosphere around planet Earth. That's first heaven. The second heaven is the stellar heavens, and that's the whole universe. And then the third heaven is the throne of God. So there, in the scriptures, three heavens. Atmosphere around planet Earth, the first heaven. Then the stellar heavens, the universe, the second heaven. And then the throne of God. Shamayim in our verse is referring to the second heaven, the stellar heavens, the universe. And then we have the conjunction vav, a connective vav, and it's not just the stellar heavens, but also eretz. That's Aleph, E-R-E-T-S. Eretz is the Hebrew word for the earth. And then, so this is going to take place. What this verb, next verb has here, it's going to affect the entire stellar universe and the earth. And what's going to happen? They're going to ra'ash. Looks like that in the Hebrew, R-A-I-N-A-S-H, ra'ash. They're going to ra'ash. Now, ra'ash literally means to quake and to shake. The vav is a conversive vav, converting the perfect into an imperfect. And it's correctly translated, and the heavens, the stellar heavens, the entire stellar heavens and the earth, together will shake and quake at the second advent of Jesus Christ. So, corrected translation, and the Lord will roar like a lion from Zion, and he will thunder from Jerusalem, and the heavens, the stellar heavens, and the earth will shake and quake. All right. One. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, the whole universe will shake in judgment. I mean, not just the planet Earth is going to shake. And the Bible says that every island will be moved from its place. That's the kind of shaking that's going on. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, the whole universe will shake in judgment. Two, people all over the earth will think that the very foundation and framework of creation is being destroyed. People will think all over planet Earth that the very foundation and framework of creation is being destroyed. Every island move is going to move from its place. Three, this will be a sign that God's day of long suffering, God has been patient, patient, patient. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what God would love to see everyone do. He would love to see every member of humanity believe in Jesus Christ. And so he is patient. He's long-suffering. God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But we all have a free will. We're free to believe in Jesus Christ. We're free to reject Jesus Christ. And throughout human history, there are those that believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, and there are those who reject Jesus Christ. But God is long-suffering. He's patient. He's compassionate. He would love to see, that's God's mental, he would love to see everyone believe in Christ. But we all have a free will, and we're the product of our own free will decisions. So this will be a sign of God's day of patience, long-suffering, compassion upon a reversionistic and degenerate world has come to an end. This will be a sign that God's day of patience, long-suffering, and compassion upon a reversionistic and degenerate world has come to an end. For now it is the day of the Lord's judgment. Now it is the day of the Lord's judgment. Five. The appearance of the Lord. Remember, total darkness, total blackness. And then here is the return of Jesus Christ. In all of his glory, all the light is from the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ as he returns. And every eye will see him. The second advent will be 24 hours, one revolution of planet Earth, so that every eye can see the glory of Jesus Christ coming back. So point five, the appearance of the Lord will be awesome, spectacular. He will suddenly appear, and the brightness of his glory will illumine the universe. Because there's no light from the stars, no light from the sun, no light from the moon. And the brightness of his glory will illumine the entire universe. Matthew 24, verses 29 and 30. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the nations of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. So out of that total darkness, the appearance of the Lord will be awesome, spectacular. He will suddenly appear, and the brightness of his glory will illumine the entire universe. Point six. As Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent, he will be seated on a white stallion. A white stallion. And on his head will be many crowns. Now this is presented along with the second advent in detail. Revelation 19. So turn over to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. What is it going to be like? Well, The Apostle John was given the privilege of seeing it and writing it down for us. Revelation 19, verse 11. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse. That's a white stallion. Jesus Christ will be returning riding a white stallion, whose rider, the Lord Jesus Christ, is called Faithful and True. And with justice, he judges and makes war. He will return at the second advent in great military glory to destroy all these nations from the north, south, east, and west that have assembled to attempt to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. And Jesus Christ will return with justice, and he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. So, point seven, the many crowns are a symbol that he is the conquering King of Kings. Jesus Christ is the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. So the many crowns are a symbol that he is the conquering King of Kings. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. So point eight, his eyes will be a flame of fire, and his robe will be dipped in blood, Revelation 19, 12, and 13. And then, verse 14, the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. The armies of heaven, well, point 10, I didn't get, point eight was his eyes will be a flame of fire and his robe will be dipped in blood. Point nine, that pictures his horrific judgment upon the nations. Horrific judgment upon the nations. And then point ten, with him will be the armies of righteousness made up of church-age saints and elect angelic armies, and that's verse 14. The armies of heaven were following him. So these are the armies of righteousness made up of church-age saints and elect angelic armies, Revelation 19, 14. And then verse 15, out of his mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, eat the flesh of generals, eat the flesh of mighty men, armies, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great. And then I saw the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together. And what are they gathered together for? To make war against the rider on the horse. To make war against Jesus Christ and his army. But the beast was captured, the Antichrist, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. And with these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped the image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. Now a question after point 10. A question. How will the nations at the Lord's glorious appearing, how will they react? How will these nations and these armies assemble at the Lord's glorious appearing? How will they react? Will they change their thinking? Will they bow in humility? Will they change their thinking about Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. Point 11, Revelation 19:19-21 says, no, the kings of the earth and the armies of the nations will go to war with the Lord Jesus Christ and try to destroy him. They are so arrogant. They will go to war with the Lord Jesus Christ and think that they can destroy him. Revelation 19:19-21. Then I saw the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army, the Lord Jesus Christ. 12. When they see him, they will mourn at the awful judgment that awaits them. And that's Matthew 24, verse 30. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the nations of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. So our verse now sounds like this. And the Lord will roar like a lion from Zion, and he will thunder from Jerusalem. And the heavens, the stellar heavens and the earth, the entire universe, will shake and quake. One. In Joel 3:14, the phrase, the day of the Lord, refers specifically to the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. So in Joel 3:14, the phrase the day of the Lord refers here in our context specifically to the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. Two, there will be two categories of people on the earth who will witness the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be two categories of people on the earth who will witness the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be the remnant of believers, and there will be unbelievers. So the remnant of believers and unbelievers. Three, for all unbelievers on the earth, the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ will be a time of terrifying judgment. For all unbelievers on the earth, the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ will be a time of terrifying judgment. Let me amplify that. First of all, it's total darkness. A time of total darkness. Joel 3:15. The sun and the moon will be dark and the stars will withdraw their brightness. It'll be a time of lights out. Lights out for the whole universe. A time of total darkness. Secondly, then a roar. A roar from the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lion of Judah coming to devour his prey, Joel 3:60. So it's a time of total darkness, lights out, and then a roar from the Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ. And then third, and then the Lord Jesus Christ in brilliant military glory coming to defeat and destroy all the Gentile armies that have assembled in Armageddon. Then the Lord Jesus Christ in brilliant military glory coming to defeat and destroy all the Gentile armies. From the north, today that would be Russia, the east, communist China, the south, the pan-Arabic bloc, the west, the revived Roman Empire, and the Antichrist. The Lord Jesus Christ in brilliant military glory comes to defeat and destroy the Gentile armies from the face of the earth. Four, the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in his military glory will cause unbelievers all over the world to mourn because they realize that the time of their judgment has come. The appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in his military glory will cause unbelievers all over the world to mourn because they realize that the time of their judgment has come. And five, the whole universe will shake in judgment. Joel 3:16. But now the second half of verse 16, we see what the second advent will be like for the remnant of believers. So the first half was what the second advent will be like for all the unbelievers and the armies that have assembled in Armageddon. The second half of the verse, we see what the second advent will be for the remnant of believers. So Joel 3:16b, but the Lord will be the hope of his people. We always start with the King James. That's what it says in the King James. This is the conjunction vav, prefix of the tetragrammaton, plus the noun maxa, plus the preposition lam, prefix to the noun om, with the third person singular masculine suffix. Now, it's very important to note that there is no verb. There's no verb in this clause. And when the verb is left out, that puts a spotlight on tremendous emphasis. So the absence of the verb places the spotlight on the grace and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in his great deliverance and rescue of the remnant of believers when he comes back at the second advent. So this is very powerful. And you wouldn't know this if you just look at your translations. So there's no verb here, and the absence of the verb puts a spotlight on the grace and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in his great deliverance and rescue of the remnant of believers when he returns at the second advent. And then we have the conjunction vav, and that's an adversative use of vav, and correctly translated but, and it sets up a contrast between what the Lord Jesus Christ will be to the unbeliever at the second advent, that's the first half of verse 16, with what the Lord Jesus Christ will be to the remnant of believers in the second half of verse 16. And then we have the tetragrammaton. YHWH, the tetragrammaton. For Orthodox Jews, this is the holiest name for God in the Old Testament scriptures. So holy, they never pronounced it. If you actually pronounced this, it would be Yahweh. They never pronounced it. Every time they saw the tetragrammaton, they read Adonai. They never would say the name. And the tetragrammaton, sometimes it's used for God the Father, sometimes it's used for God the Son, sometimes it's used for God the Holy Spirit. And in our context, it's used for God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, next time you have the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your house and knock on the door, then it's easy to find that. Tell them, are you Jehovah's Witnesses? Are you Jehovah? They go, yes. I said, I am too. You are? Yes. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Huh? Jesus Christ is Jehovah. And I believe in Jesus Christ that he paid the penalty for all my sins on the cross. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Have you believed in Jesus Christ who is Jehovah? Huh? I said, well, you need to. Because Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, paid the penalty for all of your sins once and for all. And if you simply believe in Jesus Christ, Jehovah, he gives you the gift of eternal life. Now, if you haven't done that, you better do that, because otherwise you will spend eternity under condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire. I wouldn't want to see any, and it's always ladies that come, never guys. I wouldn't want to see any of you ladies in the lake of fire. I would like to see all of you with the Lord forever in heaven. And so then they were going to give me things, and I said, here's a grace gospel booklet. That's for you. If you just read that and believe that in there, I'll see you in heaven. There you go. So that's the word we have here. Tetragrammaton, the Lord, and it refers here to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is another verse that teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah. So, the tetragrammaton refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Anointed One. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the Creator of the entire universe, the stellar heavens and planet Earth. He is the one who will return as the Son of Man and the Son of God to rule planet Earth for 1,000 years in the millennial kingdom. So, it says, but the Lord, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, will be, it says in the King James. The only problem is there's no will be in the original autographs. There is no verb at all in this clause. Literally, what it says is, but the Lord, amaxah, for his people. That's what it says. There's no verb. Now, I said he's a maxa. What's a maxa? Some of you thought it was macaroni. Close. M-A-C-H-S-E-H. Maxa. So there's no verb. But it says, but the Lord, a maxa for his people. Now, what is maxa? Okay, glad you asked. One, first of all, maxa does not mean hope, as it says in the King James. Does not mean hope, okay? So, what does it mean? Well, point two, it comes from the verb kasa. Oop, got a little bit in a hurry there. Kasa, C-H-A-S-A-H, kasa. Comes from the verb kasa, and kasa means to seek refuge. To seek refuge, that's the verb. Now we don't have the verb, we have the noun, but the noun, maxa, comes from the verb kasa, to seek refuge. So three, therefore the noun which we have, maxa, means refuge or shelter. Refuge or shelter. 4. Maxa means a shelter from danger. A shelter from danger. Point 5. With all of the devastation, destruction that's going on in Armageddon, the armies from the north and the south and the east and the west assembling, with all the devastation, destruction, judgment, and death in the tribulation, the Lord will be the shelter from danger for the remnant of believers at the second advent. The Lord will be the shelter from danger for the remnant of believers at the second advent. The preposition lamed means two or four, and then the noun am. Am. A-M. And am means people, third person singular masculine suffix, his people. His people are the Lord Jesus Christ's people. His people are the remnant of believers when Jesus Christ returns at the second advent. That's his people. The remnant of believers when Christ returns at the second advent. But the Lord, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, the shelter from danger for his people, the remnant of believers at the second advent. And then he adds. So the first phrase looks at all kinds of believers. Gentile believers who are rescued by Jesus Christ at the second advent. The last phrase looks at Jewish believers that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ when Christ comes back at the second advent. And the strength of the children of Israel. So we have the conjunction vav, prefix to the noun ma'oz, plus the preposition lamed, prefix to the construct form of the noun ben, plus the proper noun Yisrael. Now the conjunction vav is a connective vav, is translated and then we have ma'oz. M-A-I-N, long O-Z, ma-O's. Now, ma-O's comes from the verb O's. Comes from the verb O's. Now, that's O's, that's not the Wizard of Oz. O's means to seek protection. So the noun that comes from the verb, ma'oz, means the place of protection or the means of protection. The place of protection, the means of protection. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the means of protection for the remnant of Jewish believers in the tribulation that the Lord will rescue at his second advent. The preposition lamed, two or four, ben in the plural is the children of or the sons of Yisrael. And Yisrael is Israel. So, the last half of the verse then looks like this. But the Lord, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, the shelter from danger for his people, that's the remnant of Gentile believers at the second advent, and the means of protection for the sons of Israel, the remnant of Jewish believers at the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. And that will be the greatest celebration for these believers. They have survived the function of the Antichrist. They have survived the nations of the world coming for Armageddon and all the battles. And now the Lord Jesus Christ has come to rescue them. They witness, when they see Jesus Christ, you talk about a celebration. What a celebration that will be. And he is coming to rescue them, deliver them, bring them into his kingdom, and they will live with him in great, great prosperity and peace and happiness, perfect air, perfect water, perfect prosperity in the millennial reign of Christ on planet Earth. So, but the Lord Jehovah Jesus Christ, the shelter from danger for his people, the remnant of all Gentile believers at the second advent, and the means of protection for the sons of Israel, the remnant of all Jewish believers at the second advent. All right. It just gets better. So we'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives, for we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.